Today's scripture reading comes from the New Testament, Book of Romans, chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deaconess of the church at Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord as befits the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I, but also all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are men of note among the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Pamphilitus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, eminent in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asacarnitis, Phlegion, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Brother Judd.
Thank you, Brother Matt. I thought that Kathy would be reading that scripture. I think maybe she took one look at it and she got sick from all the big words that you... And then Matt got it, and Matt, he did a wonderful job of pronouncing those names that are kind of antiquated. What?
Just say it with confidence.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Judd, how are you going to get a Mother's Day scripture, a message from this scripture? I must admit, at first glance, you look at these 16 verses, and I didn't include the whole thing, and I could have, but I stopped because there's a certain part that I kind of was looking at there in this little. It almost seems like a presentation of people's names, the closing credits in a movie, perhaps, you know. Where you have that long line of names that comes down, thank you to hit this one and this one and this one. Like many things in life, when we take a closer look, there's some interesting things we can take from this final chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. For instance, of the 29 people who Paul singles out just in these 16 verses here, and there are more in that chapter, but just the first 16 there, there were 9 women. At least 9. I mean, he talks about people that, these actual names that he said. And that's somewhat interesting since Paul's frequently gotten a bum rap for being a male chauvinist. I think it shows us the tremendous influence that women had in the early church. In the male-oriented first century Palestine, it's significant that Paul couldn't describe the church without mentioning the women who were leaders in the early church. Nonetheless, the verse I would like to focus on today is verse 13, in which Paul writes, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also," or two. Now, it seems to me that this statement can only be taken one way, at least the way it's written in the NIV version. Paul's saying, "I salute Rufus and his mother, who is like a mother to me." And if that is what he meant, and most biblical scholars agree that that is indeed what he meant, then it raises some interesting speculation. When and where did Paul meet Rufus's mother? Did she nurse him through some serious illness? Did she receive him into her home for an extended stay during his missionary journeys? How did this woman and Paul form such a close bond that he refers to her fondly as being like his mother. And here's something else to think about. Mark tells us that Simon of Cyrene, the man who carried Jesus' cross, you remember that, had two sons, Alexander and Rufus. Was this the same Rufus that Paul was speaking of? I don't know. If that's true, Rufus' mother might have been Simon of Cyrene's wife. But no one knows for sure who this remarkable woman who she was, that served as a mother figure for the Apostle Paul. Perhaps it's irrelevant, but it does make an excellent starting point for a Mother's Day sermon. Some people ridicule Mother's Day as a day of sentimental drivel. I'm not one of those. I've always went out of my way to acknowledge mothers and my mother and the impact they have had in my life. And as Matt said, the people that have been my mother to me as well. There are some ministers who shun this day because they say it's not a religious holiday. And if they preach from the lectionary, which has an assigned scriptural reading each week, Mother's Day is often left out. Of course, we must admit there is sentiment to this day. And there's nothing wrong with that. Seems to me that a little bit of sentiment is healthy. True enough, there are some women in the Bible, such as Jezebel and the vindictive Herodias, who had John the Baptist beheaded, that tarnished the institution of motherhood. There are women today who abandon, abuse, and corrupt their children, who are poor models. But I'd like to think these are the exceptions. So this morning, I would like to join Paul and recognize all the mothers who are with us and those who have passed as well, because truthfully, they are with us as well. I think the first thing mothers should be recognized for is their tenacious love. And I think I've chosen my words carefully. Tenacious is exactly the word that I want to use. Let me give you an example. Now, I can't prove this statistically, but I've certainly found this to be true in my own experience as I go around occasionally in hospitals and sick rooms seem like they wear out fathers a whole lot quicker than they do mothers. Fathers become impatient and go in and out, and mothers tend to stick it out. As a general rule, I found this to be true. There's a dogged determination about a mother's love that simply cannot be denied. We read in the Old Testament from 2 Samuel a very old and obscure story about Rizpah. And I don't know whether I'm saying that right, but Rizpah was a concubine of King Saul's. Of course, that does not qualify her from being a mother. She did, in fact, have two children, I suppose you could say illegitimate sons by Saul. Later, when David ascended to the throne, he had these two sons killed because a conspiracy in which they had participated resulted in the deaths of many people. And their bodies were to be hung on a public gallows for all to see, and rather an intimidating object lesson, I suppose. And this is when Rizpah comes back into the story again, and she goes to the execution site and rolls out the sackcloth and begins a sad and lonely vigil beside the bodies of her two sons. We are told in this very grisly scene that she drove away the vultures by day and the jackals by night. When David heard the tenacity of his mother's vigil, he was moved to compassion. And he went to Gibeon personally and had the bodies removed and given a decent burial. Seems to me that Rizpah's vigil speaks to the tenacious love of all mothers. Perhaps the poet comes closer to the meaning of life more than any of this. Rudyard Kipling writes, "If I were hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still, mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know these tears, whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were damned by body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine. Excuse me, my mouth gets dry. Okay, so here's more of a lighter example of a mother's tenacity. And this is an example of my mother's tenacity. And back in the late 70s, my sister Becky played a lot of softball, competitive softball. It was A and B softball, and they traveled all over the world, all over the nation. In fact, played in a tournament in Atlanta, Georgia. But my mother and father didn't like the scenery that went along with that, which included after every game they would have to get out the cooler and pull out the beer and drink their beer or whatever, and they didn't quite like that. So they decided that they would start, and that's when Calvin Keeling was here in the church, and they decided they would start a softball team in the church league. We didn't have enough of either, so we had a co-ed team. And my mother was the manager. And I didn't realize my mother was that competitive, but my mother was very competitive. We were all her kids, not just us. Of course, there were like seven of us Hornbakers on the team, including my cousin Lowell, my cousin Paul, my cousin Patricia, and then us, my brother David. Mark wasn't there, but Rhonda, my oldest sister, Becky, myself. But all of us, we were all our kids. And so there was a play one time, and she went around and around with Roy McFarland quite a bit. Roy McFarland was the umpire, and he was also kind of the, at that time, he was kind of the, I don't know, he kind of kept the church league going, I guess you could say. So there was a play at home plate, and the throw came in, and Lowell took the play at the plate, and it was pretty obvious. Well, it was really close. And in fact, I think that Lowell missed the tag a little bit. My mom didn't see it that way. And so she continued telling Roy her point of view, and it didn't change his point of view at all. Until finally we had to, I thought she was going to get thrown out of the game, actually. But we managed to get her settled down, and everything was okay. But that was my mother, and a thing that I didn't know about my mother before that time. There's a tenacity to a mother that we must recognize and salute that. I'm sure each of you can think of those things in your life. Secondly, I think that mothers need to be recognized for the tremendous impact that they have on the lives of each and every one of us. You notice I said have, because my mother passed away from this earth to be with the Lord on April 15th, 1996. Yet she still continues to influence much of who I am and what I believe. That's just the way it is. I'm convinced that the person who influenced Jesus the most, second only to God, was Mary. That's not to diminish Joseph's role. Had he lived, I like to think that he would have been on Calvary's Hill standing right next to Mary. But very clearly, Mary's role in God's plan didn't end at the birth of Jesus. God used her along with other persons and events to help mold the personality and ministry of him. Listen to how John begins the second chapter of the gospel. The mother of Jesus was there. And the event that he was specifically referring to was a wedding in Cana, Jesus' first miracle. Yet in a real sense, Mary was always there for Jesus. Her love supported him and surrounded him, and her values influenced him, and her trust supported him. And the last thought that Jesus had on the cross with the sin of the world upon his shoulder was for his mother. He looked at John, the disciple, and said, "Behold, mother, thy mother." And then he looked at Mary and said, "Behold, thy son." That same type of influence can be seen in other individuals. As Americans, we know that Abraham Lincoln led this nation through the greatest, perhaps its time of greatest crisis. But who was it that made Abraham Lincoln the man that he was? I know what Lincoln thought. He said it was his mother. I would submit to you this morning that there's not a person sitting here today that hasn't been influenced by their mother in 1,000 different ways. I firmly believe that you cannot understand who a person is and what motivates them until you understand their past. And you can't understand a person's past without understanding the source that co-created that person along with God, and that is their parents. And finally, I lift up mothers today because where they are, that is where home is. A minister was visiting a family who had just moved to Memphis from Baltimore, Maryland. And the minister asked the man if he was originally from Baltimore. They said, "No, our family has transferred around quite frequently. And there's really no one place that I can say is home." And then he said thoughtfully, "I suppose that wherever mother was, that is where home was." I visited my wife Chris' home and her parents, David and Joanne Sellers, in Bremen, Indiana, since 1986. And first, I visited their home, them at their home in Bremen at the corner of Hope and Faith Avenue. Okay. And later, out at the small country home they had out in the country that was a home actually that Chris's father had always looked at when he was a kid and thought it would be neat to live in that place. And so they fixed it up in about 1992 or 3 and moved out there, and that became their home. And then Ma Sellers passed away in December of 2020, and of course we continued to visit her father, David. But it isn't quite the same. And yet it is still home because Chris's dad is there. But wherever mother is, that is where the home is. And I think perhaps a lot of us can identify with that. A house is a physical place, but a home is where our loved ones are gathered. Wherever mother is, that is where home is. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, wherever mother is, there is home. So yes, I believe it's appropriate that we single out a day in the year to recognize mothers. But when we really think about it, there shouldn't be a day that goes by where we fail to acknowledge mom and her numerous attributes and gifts that she has given to me, and I'm sure to each of you. I believe this Mother's Day, the highest tribute that we can give is not simply to give her a gift or flowers or to simply pay a visit or come to church on that day. Those are all good. The greatest tribute that we can give to our mother is to be the kind of person that she and our Heavenly Father would want us to be. Because if we are all able to achieve that, all of the little things will fall into place. Amen.